Blog Talk.
Welcome to the Best Ever You Show with your host, Elizabeth Hamilton Garino. Elizabeth is the CEO and founder of the Best Ever You Network, a leading multimedia provider of lifestyle content. The Best Ever You Network, helping you live your life to the fullest. It's where you'll find inspirational and encouraging stories, advice, and information with our radio show, printed magazine, websites, community, and more. Real people, real advice, real places, real products and businesses, real life stories, and more, including real celebrity life. Be your best and keep it real, confident, successful, caring, and beautiful every day with Best Ever You. Now, here's your host, Elizabeth Hamilton Garino.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. I haven't been on the air for a while. I've been in Minnesota dealing with my dad in ICU and keeping my mom and brothers and sisters company, so we canceled most of our shows and we've rescheduled. So here we are back again, and today we have Alexis Cara, the beautiful actress Alexis Cara. She's a dancer and actress, everything. I assume that's you on the phone, is that right?
That is.
Yay, there we are. Okay. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, it's such a pleasure.
Yeah, tell me where you are. Are you on the East Coast or the West Coast?
No, I'm in Los Angeles.
Oh, you are. Okay, so it's still pretty early out there. Yeah, okay.
Oh, I'm also a choreographer and a dance teacher, so I was up at 7 teaching my students at AMDA University, and I told them I'd give them a little shout-out. So.
Oh, yeah. Please do. Hi, everybody. Where is that? Where is it?
It is in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's in Hollywood, and it's the American Musical and Dramatic Academy, and I'm one of the dance faculty staff members and choreographers, and so Monday mornings at 8 a.m., students are up, ready to go, and they were so focused and great this morning, I told them I'd give them a shout-out.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah, before we went on the air, I was looking at your website, and I wanted to pass it along to people who are following with us. It's AlexisCara.com, and you spell that AlexisCara.com.
Yes.
And you're really quite accomplished. Is your favorite thing dancing, acting, sing? I can't believe how well you sing too. I mean, you're just amazing.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you for checking out my website, which my awesome boyfriend made for me.
Yeah,
it was. You know, I think that it's funny because my mom used to tell me when I was little that I would complain about liking so many different things, mm-hmm. and I kind of had this idea for a very long time, almost a limiting belief of with that I was stuck with this phrase, jack of all trades, master of none. You know?
Oh, I hate that phrase.
And I hate it too because it's such a limiting belief. And I have to say, I think that. With being a singer and being a dancer and being an actress, each inform the other. And mm-hmm. the only time where I have to kind of be cognizant of where I'm spending my energy is just in keeping my goals very focused, mm-hmm. so that I don't dissipate energy and then get frazzled going, what am I doing? Because I want to sing, I want to dance, and I want to act. And sometimes I get to do them all at the same time, which is, you know, when everything is an alignment and there's a role that creates that opportunity. But other times I do have to stay focused on, okay, what is this goal here right now? Can I put this, for example, during pilot season, I try to limit my choreography schedule or, what I do because there's more auditions happening and I'm more focused. I'm really focusing on my acting as opposed to in the summer where I can do a little bit more musical theater and, do benefits or things like that where I get to perform live doing my singing and acting and dancing.
Yeah, I think this is so important to talk about because, my husband will say that or my mom will say that about me too. It's like, you've got your nose into so many things. And, now at first he used to say that now it makes sense to him because they all sort of weave together. And
yeah.
I always feel, yes, I'm a writer, I'm a promoter, I do act, I do commercials. But it's important for for people to understand that it's okay to do all those things, and sometimes things take center stage. And but it doesn't mean you're still not doing the other things. But it's how do you explain that a little bit better? And how do you manage it too? Because one minute I'll be really into writing my children's book, which is just coming out today. I'm so excited. But a month from now I might be focused on doing a commercial or something like that.
Right.
And I think it's really important for those of us who are a little bit more artsy or art focused to understand to foster all of the things that you're good at.
Well, I think I just say I again, it goes back to, and I have to give a shout out to my dear friend Brianna Brown, who has been on Blog Talk Radio and who was the founding member of an amazing organization that I'm part of in Los Angeles called the New Hollywood Group.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about this recently about the importance of setting really realistic, but that's not really the right word I'm looking for. Setting goals that you can really envision
mm-hmm.
and visualize. And I think when you get your goals specific surrounding each area that you're a master of, you know,
mm-hmm.
and make sure that, like, it sometimes takes, for me, I'm a disciplined person, and I do need a schedule. So if I say to myself, okay, like Monday and Tuesday are very much my sort of acting days. I always teach dance. It's part of my in between acting jobs and all my art. I teach. I'm a dance teacher because I love it, and it also increases my abundance. And so Monday and Tuesday, like I have acting class on Mondays, and I usually do some kind of a workshop, or I try to make Monday and Tuesday focus on acting. Then I'll take another part of the week and I'll go, okay, Wednesdays I'll shift gears and I'll focus on, if I'm working on a piece, or I'll work on some choreography or music that I have to edit for my choreography or whatever that is, mm-hmm. or my reel. And I try to create, like, a little bit of a schedule. Now, of course, sometimes that doesn't work because, you know, you'll get a big audition on a Wednesday or Thursday, and then you can't go, oh, I can't, it's not my acting day. You know, obviously you have to. And I think the other half of it, besides creating some structure and really specific goals based on each thing that you love to do, that is a part of your career or your passion, then it's about being open to receiving. Because I'm very much a believer in that the universe has an interconnectedness that we can trust, but you don't really know how it's going to happen. You just have to know what it is that you want and visualize that, and then be open to any path that takes.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm actually looking at your website right now, and we've got beautiful pictures of you. It's got your acting reel. It's got video. It's got your choreography and your teaching. And what strikes me just instantly, I mean, it's you're so beautiful, but you're also so smart too. I mean, you're a Yale girl. So when you look at you, you know, there's really a lot to you. So you went to Yale. I mean, that's got to be – okay, let me back up. Mm-hmm. Yes, everybody. She went to Yale. Let's go way back, though, like I do with my guests. And how did you get to Yale? I mean, were you just one of those, like, smarty-pants kids in school?
Oh, my gosh. Well, I went to I wasn't. I wouldn't call myself a smarty pants. In fact, I felt like I was really good at surrounding myself with people who are smarter than me. I think that my mom is the smartest, most driven, supporting, incredible example of a woman that I know, and she was a tremendous force of mentor and also, mm-hmm. you know, mother support system for me. And she gave me, I'm so grateful because she gave me the opportunity to go to an incredible, to have an amazing education in you know, kindergarten through high school. And I was in an environment that encouraged working hard but and being disciplined, but also being creative within that structure. Mm-hmm. And I felt that one of the things that I was really good at when I applied to Yale was actually writing. I felt like I learned how to write in high school, which yeah. I know a lot of that's something that I know now, especially in the California school system, and I hear so many debates about it, is really are kids learning how to apply what they're learning and learning deduction and critical thinking and then learning how to write and express themselves and express full thoughts. And I really felt like I went to Berkeley Preparatory School in Tampa, Florida, kindergarten through my senior year, and I felt like I learned how to write. And I think that that really set me apart in when I was applying for college. And I also had this, I was a writer and a critical thinker and really into literature, but then I also had this visceral side of me as a dancer. And so I was very connected to my body and connected to how the two informed each other and describing those feelings and creating story through movement and through words. And I think that my college essays were great. I think that's what really helped me get into college. Because I had good grades. I mean, I had mostly A's, but my SAT scores, you know, now I know it's out of a different point system, but they were, you know, they weren't, you know, I didn't get perfect scores and everything. I worked really hard, and mm-hmm. when I focused on what it was that I loved about what I was doing, then I always did well. I mean, math was always harder for me. So I struggled in some subjects, but yeah, I think that was a big part of it, the writing.
Yeah. Now, what did you go to school for Yale for? Did you always know that you were going to be an actress and a dancer and all those things? I mean, some people, I find that most people who are really good at the arts sort of always knew it. Like, you know, like in kindergarten, I can remember sitting there thinking, you know, not that I'm a great writer or anything, but I mean, I really, that's my thing that I love to do. I love to write. Whether I'm good at it or bad at it, I don't care. I just love to write also.
Love to write,
And I can remember and read, and I can remember in kindergarten really sitting there, and I'm, you know, I was six, going, you know what? I love to read and write. And ever since then, that's what I do. Did you have that kind of thing?
Mine was always dance. My mom tells a story that when she went to the dance studio to sign me up, I was 2 years old, and I, without even asking or thinking, I walked right into the dance room and mm-hmm. stepped into the class and, like, started dancing with the class before I was even, like, enrolled. So I think I always knew I wanted to dance. But I think because I went to a school that was very academic-focused, I struggled between pursuing, like, a pure, you know, a Bachelor of Fine Arts degree in dance or, you know, going to getting a Bachelor of Arts. And that was an area where I think my mom felt that I would have a more well-rounded education, given that she knew I had this very academic side to me. She knew me really well. She knew that I wasn't going to be as stimulated just focusing on dance. I needed the left and the right brain to be working. And she encouraged, because I got into NYU and I thought about going there for dance, but she didn't really give me, well, I think she would have given me the choice, but I trusted
where you
were
going. Yeah.
But we did have fights, you know, I mean, we did. And then when I went to visit Yale and I realized how the arts were so integrated into the student body and how there was such opportunities for students to create their own work and how much theater was thriving on campus and dance, I thought, oh, this is kind of perfect. I did always know that I wanted to be an artist, but I honestly also in middle school, I wanted to be a neurosurgeon. I mean, I was really serious about
being
a doctor.
That's bizarre.
Yeah.
So did I. I wanted to be a brain surgeon. And, I mean, I was on a path. And I thought that's what I wanted to do. I got to college, and I'm like, nope. Isn't that funny?
Me too. Really, me too, yeah.
I really was going to be the doctor of all doctors. That's interesting that we have that in common. Yeah, I mean, I was set from about I knew I could read and write, but I knew at about age 13 I wanted to be a doctor. And then I personally did not have the heart to tell people they were sick. I knew I couldn't do it. I was just too sensitive for it.
There's no way
I could do it.
Yeah, I don't know when. I don't really know when that changed for me. But I think part of it was when I realized in school that I could see myself drifting more towards doing theater and not wanting to be in the lab, that I just realized that, oh, this is really what I love to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then
when I was in college,
my junior year, I took a semester off to do the national tour of Fosse. The first national tour, I was offered a job, my first professional job with the Broadway Touring Company, and I had done enough AP classes in high school to sort of accelerate my status.
Mm-hmm.
So I was ahead a semester. Thankfully, I had done that because I was able to take a semester off and still graduate with my class.
That's really neat. That
kind of sealed the deal for me, because at Yale, you don't really have to declare a major until very late because it's so liberal. It's a liberal arts education. And I know now we had this thing called distribution requirements. I know it's a little different now, but you were able to kind of take so many different types of classes within the framework of what you thought your major would be, that I didn't really have to declare until the last semester of my junior year when I came back. So it was like, I could have been a science major. Yeah, I could have been a history major. I could have also been an English major, but I chose theater studies. So I have a BA in theater studies with honors.
I can see why. Just in one look at your website, you get to know you instantly and see how talented you are.
Oh, great. Thank you.
Yeah, well, you're welcome. But let's talk a little bit about Brianna Brown for a minute, because we love Brianna. I love Brianna.
Yes,
and then we'll talk about some of the things that you have, upcoming. And by all means, if I forget to mention something, there's a lot to you. And please forgive if I mispronounce something, because there's a lot of names and things in here that you're going to have to correct me. I don't know half the people that we're talking about, like you do, for sure. But Brianna Brown is a name that I definitely won't mispronounce. She's a blessing. And I know this is an interview about you, but she's such an important part of our lives, both yours and mine. She took Best Ever You from, the get-go and said, I love you, girl. What can I do? And she's just like that. Is she amazing in your life, too?
Oh, yeah. She really is. She is, stands for so many things for so many people. And
I have goosebumps talking about her right now. She amazes me. I love her.
Yes.
Yeah. Goosebumps. Totally. Yeah. My hair's on end and my arms. She's just neat.
She really is. She inspires a lot of women. And I have to say, I went through a life-changing experience last year, and I thought I was maybe going to move back to New York. And I have to say, and I told her this, but one of the reasons why I didn't is because I had found a community in the New Hollywood Group, which is what she started, about 5 years ago. And I thought, I knew there was something so special about these women that Brianna, and she's so fantastic because she attracts all the women that are in this group are just
amazing.
I'm speechless because they're incredible.
Yeah, newhollywood.org, right? There's
yeah,
the new Hollywood.
Actually, I think it's the newhollywoodgroup.org. I always forget if it's New Hollywood.
Let me
look.
I'll look while you're talking.
Okay.
Just to make sure, because I go there a lot, but.
And she has really become like a sister and one of my best friends. And we met in such a odd way, and we have just clicked. And she really is someone who talks the talk and walks the walk. And she practices what she talks about and what she inspires people with. She really also lives that life. And so I find that,
it's the newhollywood.org. Sorry. What'd
it's
you
the
say?
newhollywood.org? No
yeah, thenewhollywood.org. I'm sure you can get to it in other websites, but the one that I always pull up is thenewhollywood.org. But, yeah, she just inspires so many people. What is the New Hollywood? The New Hollywood. And can you talk about some, the benefit that you just had, Free to Express?
Yeah, I would love to. The New Hollywood is a women's philanthropic goal group, and we're actually applying for our 501c3 right now. But really, our mission is to create. We wanted to. She started it because she wanted to create a community of mostly. Initially, it was mostly actresses, but in Los Angeles, where women are supporting women. Mm-hmm. And they started doing the. It started when they were doing the Artist's Way, which is a book by I think her name is Julia Cameron, and then mm-hmm. it kind of evolved into really women supporting each other and helping each other stay accountable for their goals. And the group has just grown into being really about creating a safe environment where. You can, where we can support each other and to achieve your personal goals, your professional goals, and then we take that, and the cool thing about this group is that it starts at the level of self, and then that kind of focus and attention and support that we give each other for our individual selves and our career goals and personal goals, we then extend it out to the community. And so what we do is we donate 10,000 and more dollars a year to different charities that the women support, and we will vote on charities. We do presentations about the charities, and then we vote, and then we donate. And we just, several of our women, and I'm not sure if you've interviewed Virginia Williams yet, but she's definitely someone that you would love, Elizabeth. She's in our group.
Yeah.
And she's on the, she's a series regular on the show, on the USA show, Fairly Legal.
Mm-hmm.
And she is very closely tied with an organization called Free the Slaves. And we had voted to donate money to them. And then it was my dream to always do a benefit, a performance benefit with the women. I've done so many benefits in my time being in the Broadway community when I lived in New York through Broadway Cares, Equity Fights AIDS.
Mm-hmm.
And I had such a pleasure of doing so many different performances and being in different pieces and just a part of such a community. The Broadway community is so supportive in that way. And so I wanted to, and I didn't find that out here in Los Angeles. And so I wanted to do a benefit because so many of the women, in addition to being actresses, were singers, dancers, writers, they had all these talents, and I wanted to do a show.
Mm-hmm.
And during that show, I wanted to raise money, buy a ticket, and you raise money for an organization. And so we linked up with Free the Slaves. We just had this benefit October 23rd, a couple weeks ago, and we're actually still waiting on the final amount that we raised. But it wasn't even really about the amount. The tickets weren't. It was $27 to save $27 million. But we did it at a great venue in Los Angeles, in Hollywood, called the King King, and we put on an hour show with singing and dancing and some choreography, and we put a medley of music together that one of my dear friends, Debbie LaPuma, we had so many people volunteer different talents to make this happen, and it was a spectacular evening. It was a big hit.
I wish I still lived there. It kills me that I don't live. It kills me that I live on the other side of the country.
Well,
we have footage.
Well, we're going to put a little trailer together and post it on our website and YouTube so that people can just get a glimpse of what we created, because it was pretty spectacular. And then we had a big dance party after, and it was just great. So we raised the money.
You know what I love about you guys too is within that group of people, it doesn't matter, you know, like I'm 100 years older than most of you, for real. You know, I'm 42 and most of you guys are like in your 20s and 30s. But you guys don't care. And I might be a little heavier than most of you. You guys don't care. There's, you know, you guys are about embracing people and their talents and their skills and what they have to say and who they are. And you guys go right to the core. There's no superficial anything. Even though you guys might all be beautiful and talented and dancers and this and that and everything, you guys are so secure in your core being. It's amazing, and it's so fun to be around.
I love
that about you guys. Yeah, and you know what strikes me, I remember meeting, I didn't know you first, I knew Brianna first, but what really struck me, and my husband's older than me even by 11 years, but what struck us both about Brianna is he learned that at such a young age. Most people don't really learn that until they're my age. You know what I mean?
It's
interesting how, so it makes me really proud of her all the time to see somebody, so, you know, back it up 5 years, so young, you know, and continuing to be young, even though 5 years have gone by, that they, that you guys know that about yourselves. How do you guys, attract people like that, or how do you meet people like that, or how do you sift through the crowd to meet people like that?
I think when you're an artist and you're always creating, you're creating based off of an authentic feeling or truth or question. And so I think the more and more you become a master of your art, whether it be acting or dance or whatever, the more you have to know yourself. And so I think when you, you know, I know, I'm not going to speak for Brianna, but I know she came out here. She didn't graduate from college. She came out here. I think she went to a semester at St. Olaf, and then she had immediate success. She had an agent in Minnesota, and it brought her out here, and she was I did a role in one of the pilots for a show called Freaks and Geeks. Mm-hmm. And so she was out here at 18 or 19. And I think you have to, especially with Los Angeles, you have to know who you are before you can play someone else, really.
That's a good point.
I think it also is a, it's a reflection of how willing you are to be straight with yourself. And I'm being straight with yourself, like because the hardest thing to do is to be honest with yourself. You know, you can claim that you're an honest person and have integrity, but you know, if you, it's really looking inside you and you go, let me be straight about how real I am with myself. Yeah. And I think Brianna's not afraid to ask that question, and we're not afraid to ask that question in the group. And that's, you know, so we get, you know, without, it's not a therapy group at all. But
no, it's definitely
you know, that stuff, you work on that outside so you can get clear, so you can have a clear picture and visualize what it is that you want in your life. And so you can lead a life of with vitality and passion and clarity. And so I think part of it is being in the city that we're in, and where it's just so layered with bells and whistles and
You could get lost there.
Yeah.
You could really lose yourself and become something totally different if you don't stay grounded there, I think, especially if you have any kind of tendency toward addiction or anything. And there's a lot of stuff out there I call it sifting through, all the different.
To hide, to deal, to cope.
Definitely. All right.
And then once you find those people, you just stick with them. And then it's very hard to get lost. I mean, one of my other dear friends, Elle Sompreis, who you should also interview, she's a motivational speaker and has a company called Inspired Success. She always says, like, you know, you got to work through it instead of kind of trying to rise above it. And I think a lot of that's really what we help each other do, is we go through things so you can kind of, like, sift through it, and then you really get to the core, and then you're like, oh, I know who I am. So I love that analogy.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I think that's just so important. I know her, too. I do know her a little bit. But, you know, one of the things that, as you were talking, that came to mind is and this is just for us to remember, we really should do a New Hollywood, just one magazine issue dedicated to the New Hollywood, and put all of you guys in there. Wouldn't that be fun?
That would be so fun.
We're going to have to work on this. So we'll do this in the next few months. We'll do a New Hollywood issue and feature all of you guys and do everything. So it'll be a fun issue. Mm-hmm. All right. I'll have to put that written down.
Yep,
exactly.
Well, since I'm the VP of Best Ever You in the group, I can help remind you.
All right. Okay, so what are you working on right now? What's Castle?
Oh, well, it's a show. A show on ABC, and I just did a small role in it a couple weeks ago, and so I think my episode airs, on November 14th, but don't quote me on that, but I think it's November 14th, and I'm just at the very beginning of the episode, but I won't tell you what happens.
All right.
You gotta
watch.
Cool.
Yeah.
So that was something I shot a couple weeks ago, and I'm always auditioning, and I'm also, hopefully, fingers crossed, I was hoping I was going to have the final word by this interview, but I'm hoping, looks like I might be playing a role, my first lead in a feature film, an independent feature. So I'm hoping that comes through, which would be really cool. It shoots in Los Angeles, and it's a great role, and yeah.
Well, we'll update everybody if he gets the role, and if not, oh, well. Yeah,
If not, then there's something bigger and better.
Exactly. Do you now? Who's the one who kissed Jack Wagner in the audition? Is that you? One of you guys
kissed Jack Wagner.
Somebody kissed Jack Wagner.
That
is that you?
Me.
Who was that?
No, I don't think so.
Was that Aaron? I think it was Aaron.
Might have been Eric Cottrell. Yeah.
Yeah, it was.
I think so.
Okay, who's the coolest guy you've kissed in an audition?
In an audition, oh gosh.
Come on.
I haven't really had to kiss, because you know why? Most auditions are with readers.
Oh,
so
okay. Yeah, so you can tell I'm not auditioning.
Well, but I had to kiss the actor that for this feature. I had to kiss, he's playing a guy who is pretending that he's gay in order to get close to me because he's too shy. So and then I'm with my friends going, why am I attracted to this guy who's gay and I can't have him, but really he isn't gay.
Yeah,
but
really,
in love with me. It's funny. And so in this scene, I kiss him at the end of the scene. And we were so like connected and we didn't really talk about whether or not we were going to do it. And I just went for it. And it was hysterical because he had no idea I was about to kiss him in the audition. So he kind of broke, but it worked in the audition. It was great. So that was recent. So he was cool. But
all right. I wanted to slap somebody in an audition once, and that's uncomfortable. I don't know how they teach
that.
That's weird. She goes, no, just go ahead. The director was like, okay, now we need you to slap him because you guys are fighting. I'm like, I can't hit you. And the guy's towering over me. He must have been about 6'4". And I had to hit him. That's buzzed, isn't it? Yeah, I'm like, I'm
that's
sorry.
Great.
I don't mean to hit you.
I've kissed a lot of boys in scenes, but not, in classes and in actual shoots. But in auditions, I haven't had to do that much.
Yeah, that was buzzed.
Not yet.
So I almost had to jump up to reach his face, too, because they wanted me to hit him across the face. And that was buzzed. I don't know. I don't like doing that kind of stuff. So, what'd you say?
I said, and you got him. Did you get him good?
No. I couldn't do it very well. It was it was really awkward for me. So you ever find that, some things are just not you? I didn't get that role either. I knew I wasn't going to get that role because I could not hit this guy across the face. I'm like, no matter what I do, I don't want to be in something like that where I'm smacking somebody across the face because I'd never do that in real life. It was
bizarre. That has happened to me with roles before where I've gone. But, then I try, because auditions are – when you get an audition in Los Angeles, you celebrate. And so
I try to do anything.
let me not put myself adjacent to this character or judge it. And let me find somewhere inside me because I know that, it exists somewhere. So I try to just find that.
Oh, that's hilarious.
But it's not always, some roles obviously are like this role for this independent film is very me. So I don't have to, it just works. It just clicks.
Yeah.
And that makes it
most fun, I think. So, okay, tell me this about you. I've got to check time, too, and see how much time we have to talk with you. I think we have another half hour. So where do you see yourself going with this? What are your dreams? What do you want to do with, let's say maybe the next 5 years, 10 years of your life? Do you have it?
I have recently it's funny that you're asking me that because that's what I'm doing right now is visualizing that because it's changing for me. I just turned 30 this past year, and so I think I'm in a transition phase in my life, and which is challenging but exciting and fun because I'm creating every moment as I go. And I really see myself in 5 years. I don't know how much the question I have for myself is I don't know how much dance and choreography will play a role in my life. I think it teaching will phase out in my life, and teaching mm-hmm. will become something that I just do occasionally. And I really see myself moving more towards really acting and producing. I'm actually producing now, and I've been working with a new company, which I'd love to talk about, called Lanila, which was started by a bunch of Yalies. But I see myself in 5 years being having my own production company and having at least produced one big film that stars me. Because I feel like you have to create your own opportunities in Los Angeles. Sometimes the routes are not conventional, because there are a lot of talented actors that are beautiful.
That's life.
And,
I mean,
yeah.
That's plain life. I find that more and more, you know, I wasn't born with a silver spoon in my mouth, and I really have to create, you know, you create your own opportunities and you create your own path. For sure. With anything, though. Especially art, you know, anything artistic related, writing, acting, drawing, painting, dancing, those types of things. You really have to stay connected and create, you know, use your brain and connect.
Creating.
But,
So I think
that's a great goal for you. I think that sounds like so much fun.
Thank you. Yeah, and I think also I am very interested in dance and film, and so I know that I'll be writing something at some point where I can incorporate, like I said when we first started, all of those skills where I can choreograph, produce, and be in a film. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, that would be like a dream to have a way to incorporate the thing, because now dance is so much more a part of the American pop culture, with shows like Say Think You Can Dance and more musical movies being done, you know? So I think that it's a little more, it's a more accepted format now of storytelling, and with Glee, things like that, where I don't know if theatricalized, I don't think that's a word, but there's more of a theater aspect to it. So I see myself being someone who is creating those opportunities and producing those films.
Yeah,
I definitely see myself in film.
Yeah, do you guys, as part of the New Hollywood, do you guys think that you might get together on something like that and do that as a group? Was that ever a possibility
I don't think so, because I don't think we want to become like a sort of producing house. I think women, you know, a couple years ago, Rihanna and a couple of other women who actually aren't with the group anymore, did their own web series.
Right.
And I can't remember what the name of it is right now. Yeah, Retail Therapy.
Retail Therapy, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so they worked on that together. So different women, you know, I know we have another amazing woman, Angela Matamocha, who started her own production company last year. She did a short film that Brianna actually starred in called The Encounter, which has done really well at film festivals, and she was partnering up with another girl in the group named Char Marie, and who's a producer and a line producer, and so they're partnering up together. So a lot of women in the group will partner up together to make things happen, but I don't know if as an entire group we'll ever do something like that.
Back to being 30, 30 is a great age.
That's great.
A whole bunch of years older than you. 30 is a great age. It's a pivotal. It's a pivotal one.
Yeah.
A lot changes from 30 to 40. Really, it's just a really tremendous growth period of growth. I think a lot changes from. And I think a lot changes from any time you go from like 10 to 20, 20 to 30, 30 to 40. You know,
right.
I can feel how much it's going to change for me going from 40 to 50. And 50 sounds very bizarre to me to say that out loud. You know, it's like, you know what I mean? Now I feel like my mom or something. You know what I mean? No offense, mom.
Well, I remember when my mom turned
50.
She thought it was the best age. She loved it.
I'm loving every age but I've always kind of been that way. I love all the different ages I am. Because it always brings something definitely new, for sure. I can remember being right about 31 and having four little babies, you know, 0, 2, 4, and 6, and four car seats in my car, and total chaos. It was very fun.
Wow. That's intense.
Yeah, very, 30 is a great age. But, so what is, I'm going to destroy this name. I'm afraid to say this. It's L-O-N-Y-L-A.
Lanila. It stands for London, New York, and L.A. Or Lanula.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what it stands for. Well, this is just this new organization that I have just started working with this year. It was started by a woman, and I'll give her a shout out because she is another force to be reckoned with, like Breonna Brown. Her name is Jay Dakota Powell. She's a Yalee and also comes from a very international background. And she really, I think, and I don't want to speak for her, but she started this organization because there's really nothing like it. It's really a networking, creative lab and producing platform, producing and broadcasting platform where artists can link globally all through the web.
Oh, cool.
And, yeah, and we're applying for grants right now, and I'm the LA artistic director and producer. And so far, the things that we've been focusing on have been we had a spring lab, and we have a TV group pilot series that happens in New York, London, and Los Angeles, and we develop scripts with writers, and we bring in different directors in different cities. So we'll take a script that was written by a Los Angeles-based writer, and we'll get a New York director and New York actors to read that script, and then she'll get feedback. He or she will get feedback, and then we'll do it again with London actors and London director. And so you get different things out of because it's a cross-fertilization of cultures and artists. And so recently, just yesterday, I hosted this feedback session at my house in Hancock Park in Los Angeles. And we had the writer, Los Angeles-based writer, who's also a doctor, Zoanne Clark, reading her new medical drama with British actors, and the drama takes place in Charleston. So it was like such a cool clash of cultures. It was a Creole.
Oh, yeah.
It takes the Southern Creole culture in the script and with British actors, you know, and it just was so very cool. A lot of amazing feedback comes out of it. And so we develop the development process with that. But the biggest thing about it is that it really is about networking, and we're using the web to do all this. We Skype in, we have a Ustream, we broadcast, and so anyone who's on, it's similar, there's a social networking site, lanila.net, which is similar to the Best Ever You, how we have besteveryou.com, and then we have the social networking platform. And I love, you know, and it really is crucial to have those two formats that you can link up with people. And so we have that. We have Lanila, lonyla.net. And so you sign up and you link up, and then you can tune into any of the broadcasts and watch these actors. And some of them, you know, we've had a couple, especially in New York, some pretty big, like Tony Award-winning actors doing readings, and you can just watch them live.
So fun.
It's very cool. And then we also have – sorry, no, go ahead.
Let me stop you for 1 second. Now, if someone wants to get their script in front of you, because I can imagine somebody listening to this going, oh, goody, a place for somebody to read my script. How do they actually get their script in front of you?
Well, we can, you know, you can email me, and if you, I can give my information to email me at, and we, right now, there's no, all the slots are filled. So this would probably not be until next fall. Because once this TV group series is over, which our last reading is December 4th, in the winter of next year, we're going to be gearing up for a huge online theater festival that we're producing called Time Wave, which is in conjunction with the London Olympics and the Cultural Olympiad. So it's actually going to take place in London, but it's going to incorporate artists globally. So we're going to be really focusing more on that. So in terms of reading for pilot, because specifically this fall was TV pilot reads.
Yeah.
So we did some hour-longs and some comedies. But if anyone wants to tune in to see kind of how it works, they can join lanila.net. And on December 4th, we'll be doing a reading at Paramount of a British comedy called Creamed by Paul Charlton. Actually, I don't know if it's Charlton or Charlton. And so we'll be doing Los Angeles-based actors reading British comedy.
Yeah, that's nice.
So
we can promote
fun.
That in Best Ever You and on Twitter
yeah.
and things like that. So people really can join in because that's really unique. That's
yeah,
a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm loving that.
Very, very,
yeah, definitely.
Very cool. Yeah, so we've had different different series, and so right now we're in the TV group, the fall series, and then we'll move into Time Wave in 2012.
Yeah, that you can tell you guys are I don't know, probably word this wrong, but you what you do is your life.
Yeah.
You know, your acting is your life. It's not just some like casual hobby. You know, I think I'll act here and there. It seems like it pretty much is what you do. It's who you are. Is that correct?
Yeah.
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 I would say
that. But at the same time, I always like what we spoke about earlier. If you identify too much with what you consider a success, which is very like left-brained, as opposed mm-hmm. to what you are at your core, which are these things that you have no matter what you're doing, then it's important to, I think, remember that as well.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you'll get too, one can get too connected to, you know, the external cues for if I'm doing okay, how am I
oh,
doing?
Yeah.
Which is a part of that, but you know, I mean, 2010 was a very hard year for me, career-wise and personally, and I had to really get back to the core of who I am no matter what I'm doing or where I am. And I think that's also equally as important.
Yeah.
And then you can dive yourself in more. Mm-hmm.
Do you want to share with everybody when you say that was a hard year for you? Do you want to share with the listeners what happened to you so
yeah,
that they can
no,
understand
it,
you a little bit more?
Know, yeah, of course. It's you know, when I talk about it now, it doesn't really seem like it was that difficult now because I've come through it so far. But I had been engaged to a fellow, a British young man who's a wonderful guy, and he broke off the engagement 3 months before
yeah,
our wedding.
I remember
and so we were pretty close to, you know, I had everything pretty much set. We were just about to send the invitations. And so it was a tough, I'd already planned my life, and so it was a tough, the rug got pulled out from underneath me.
You can still sit here and say he's a nice guy, huh? Good for
oh, yeah,
you.
He's not a bad guy. He's really not a bad guy.
Yeah,
we weren't right for each other. So he actually saved me, you know, something that I don't know how it would have ended, but he really did the right thing. And he's, you know.
Cool, you can say that.
Because
I know a lot of people would be just pure mad still, probably.
Yeah, well, but when once I kind of really had the resolution from it, I understood that.
Yeah.
Wasn't an easy thing for him to actually do what he did, and it kind of took the whole, oh, by the way, we're going to spend our whole life together to really realize that that wasn't the case. And he could have gotten married and gone through with it because that was what we were supposed to do or we had planned, and then it would have been even worse trying to, you know, have to go
yeah.
having to go through a divorce, which, so he did save me that. And plus, I'm now with an amazing man partner, and I'm sharing my life with him, and so
good.
I've moved on, I've created things from it. I've created some choreography from it, and I'm sure there's a story in there somewhere. It's funny, like I go to bed at night sometimes things turn, I'm like, how can I make this a story that's not cliche, you know? But
yeah, exactly.
But yeah, and then I also, just career-wise, was a tough year. I had a ton of auditions, and I didn't book anything. So I went about a year and a half without I did two commercials, and that was it. So I hadn't really worked, creatively, and it was tough. It was really tough.
That happens. That happens.
A lot of actors go through. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's you know, I think it's just not to the acting profession too. It's been a tough year for everybody. I mean, I know I kind of keep saying that to try and relate you out to a broader audience of people who aren't actors who might be listening. But it's been a strange year financially for a lot of people, you know, including us. It's just been kind of an off year. Hopefully 2012 will be better. You know, it's all over the country. Everybody's feeling the effects of 2010 and 2011.
Mm-hmm. Well, the country is changing. You know, we're on the verge of trying to find our own authenticity. You know, I mean, I was just listening to something on NPR on the way back from teaching when I was about to call you, and I was listening to a man who was involved in the reconstruction development post the Iraq War, and he was talking about how inauthentic the whole thing really was. It wasn't really what we thought we were doing. And I think that it's important to address, you know, regardless of whether you're Republican or you're a Democrat or you're independent or what you know what you believe, and aligning yourself with what that really means and then translating that into action is something different. And I think this country is on the verge. So
it's changing a lot. Yeah, the whole world's sort of opening up. What'd you say? Sorry.
2012 will be an interesting year, given that it's an election year, and we'll see what happens. Yeah, but
All right. So we have 10 minutes left to talk to you, and one of the things that we have. I know it's, you're just fascinating. One of the things that I always try and ask people, and I know we're going to kind of run short on time here, is so a little bit more personally about you. It's easy for me to go to your website, alexiscara.com, and see how absolutely beautiful you are. And, you know, I know that a lot of it comes just naturally and everything, but I'm wondering if you can share with our listeners how it is that you keep, you know, I know you're a dancer and things like that, so it might be, you know, you might just say dancing, but how do you keep yourself in such beautiful shape? We love to hear things like, how do you do your hair?
Sure.
What kind of makeup do you love? You know, all the little girly things that, you know, might help somebody else.
I love being outside, and so I do love to run or walk. I love to hike. So I honestly actually haven't been doing as much of that lately because I've been a little under the weather, and I can feel in my body my endorphins are craving outdoor exercise. So I really encourage people to get outside to exercise. And I will say, I know even when it's cold, I was with my boyfriend in Michigan for Christmas last year, and I went outside and I ran. I can't remember what temperature it was. And he, bless him, he came with me. He did. He was such a good sport. And I will do it again this year. And if, I think he's listening. I will do it again this year because I have to be outside. And I think it just, you exercise your body in a different way than when you go to the gym.
Who's the boyfriend? We got to give a shout out to the boyfriend. Just the first name. You don't have to
Shane,
give the last name.
Shane. His name is Shane. And he's a writer, director, creative director. Okay. He's an awesome guy.
Yeah, especially if he goes out running with you in the dead of winter. Bless his heart. That's
did.
A keeper,
he
for
really
sure.
Did. I know. And I didn't even, it wasn't one of those, come on. It was like he did it.
Oh, I don't want to go.
No, yeah, I don't even think he wasn't dragging his feet. He was like, all right, let's do it.
Oh, really?
So,
see now, that's impressive because I'm in Maine and it's freezing. But my husband and I have made a commitment this year to go outside and walk 1 mile each day, no matter what.
Good for you. That's awesome. See, I think
it's
important
a tough
to do
thing,
that as
though.
A couple. Yeah,
the weather here stinks. Ugh.
Oh, I bet. I can't. I don't even know how it compares to Michigan. So obviously, you know, when it becomes 20 below zero, going outside is probably worse for your health. So in that case, I am very committed to yoga. Because I am a spiritual person, and I find that when you connect, I don't even want to use the term working out, but using your body physically, like physically exercising your body with your kind of inner spirit, you see results faster because it's what you're not like beating yourself up over, like, oh, I have to 100 calories, blah, you know, I think I ate one more Brussels sprout than I should have last night. I have to burn off 100 more calories, which just gets you in this mentality of beating yourself up. And I think that, you know, stress plays a big role in weight loss and skin. You know, if you're stressed, your body is going to do things to you to slow you down, to get you back into alignment. And you will not lose weight, and you'll have more sallow-looking skin. And I think, you know, pimples and things like that pop up with anxiety. So I think emotions play a big part in maintaining balance in your weight. And I know for me it does, because when I start stressing out, I emotionally eat sometimes, or I'll put on a little bit of weight, and then my boyfriend will, you know, remind me, like, if I just kind of ease up on myself a little bit and get back to what I know is healthy, so that it's not about calories or it's inside out, I get back to what is whole, then my body realigns itself.
Yeah.
And that weight suddenly, and that happens. I know people, I didn't even realize that I'd lost 5 pounds. Well, that's because you were engaged. You were being physical. You were eating the things that feel good, that actually feel good to you, and not, you know, focusing so much on oh, this is half a carrot, you know. Mm-hmm. And it works different. Different people have different things, because I know some people, calorie counting really does work. So I don't want to, you know, look down
upon
that.
We can bash the calorie counters. But, no, I understand what you mean there totally, because
yeah.
Stress and anxiety, I think most of the country is, you know, overweight because of stress and anxiety, but that's a different
sure.
story. Can I give you a mission, maybe, or at least
please.
A try? And if you can't find it, that's okay, too. But do you think on behalf of Best Ever You, you could research a good yoga tape for us, like a DVD that we could buy?
I can already tell
that
you
we could,
one. I already know
one. Oh.
Mm-hmm. It's called The Ultimate Yogi, and it's going to be coming out soon. My yoga teacher at Power Yoga Santa Monica, Brian Kest is the owner, but my yoga teacher, Travis Elliott, did a big series. I was supposed to go with him, but I couldn't. He shot it in Bulgaria, and it's a 100-day challenge. How it started, but he's going to have a DVD series, which I think you'll be able to view online and purchase,
nice.
That is really good power yoga.
So who is that again?
His name is, he has a website. It's Travis, Travis Elliott, and he's with one L, one T, Elliott, .com. And he's based in Santa Monica, but it's power yoga, and he is such a beautiful balance of spirituality and the poses and the physical side of it. It's a really wonderful class.
And is it so far advanced that a person just doing yoga for day one can't do it? Because I find some of these tapes, you know, it's got somebody super in shape leading it, and, you know, when you're not super in shape and you're looking at it, you're just like disheartened going, okay, I don't know even where to begin with yoga.
Right.
Because the poses.
Well, I
think
if you're a beginner, I really would stress going to a yoga studio. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think that, and I think that there's pretty much at this point yoga almost in every city, every major metropolitan city, and just taking even one class and then trying to do it as DVD will create a very different experience. I'm almost positive.
Yeah, my husband and I were thinking about doing yoga because he just had both of his hips replaced about a year and a half ago.
I remember that,
It just seems like it's a great, and we only have 2 minutes left, so we're going to have to wind down, but it seems like it's a great, it's just flexible and peaceful, and it seems like it just zaps the stress.
I don't know if it zaps it. I'm going to be perfectly honest. I think yoga is one of those things that you may kind of feel good right after, but the benefits are a long-term commitment to it. I have to say. And I think it's a life choice that definitely creates a lot of stress relief in the long term, for sure, because it's a way of life. Yeah. But I also do Pilates. That's the last thing I want to say. Pilates is major for core and lengthening and leaning out your muscles.
I love Pilates.
I do. Oh, it's amazing. I got to plug my Pilates studio, Studio Soma in Los Angeles, with Talia. Talia Thomas is the owner. She's the best Pilates teacher in the world. And
does she have a tape?
She doesn't. But it's something I'm sure she'll do. But if you're ever in Los Angeles and you're out there on the radio, guys, go look up Studio Soma, West Hollywood, because it's great.
Maybe she'll do a. I only have 90 seconds left, so I'm gonna wind down. But maybe she'd write an article for us. So we're leaving this call today. I just want to thank Alexis Kerr for being with us for the hour, and we've mentioned.
Thank you.
We're just blessed to have you guys, have you and have everybody in the New Hollywood, and just love you guys. So many continued blessings for you. Happy 2012.
Thank
I look forward
you.
To following everything that you do in 2012, and I thank you so much. A part of Best Ever You. And to everyone listening, please go to Alexis's website. It's alexiskara.com. She's just a phenomenal person overall. And then beauty, brains, a dancer, an actor, an actress, a musician, a singer.
Producer.
on and on.
Thank you, Elizabeth. You're an incredible light and energy, and all you do is very inspiring. So I know all the listeners appreciate all that you do, too.
But we're ending on you. So alexiskara.com, and thank you. And Shane, you got a good one, too. So she's a good one. All right.
Thank you.
Love you guys. Love you very much. And give Brianna a big hug.
I will. Thanks, listeners.
Okay.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye, Elizabeth.
Bye. And I just want to close the show saying, you know, thank you so much for listening, and visit besteveryou.com at besteveryou.com and join our network at beynetwork.com. Thank you so much for listening, and tomorrow we have Toscarino at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. Take care, everybody.